Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Nards. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn, and Ben Fredrickson with you here on the radio program. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020 or go online at goldsmithmcp.com. Derek Gould will be with us coming up at 8:30. 8:30. Derek Gould with us, 8:30. Thank you.
Nice.
Shrewsbury Seminary student called in and wanted an update to see if OutSports ever posted their evidence, as they said it was, that the Cardinals lied to them. And since he called in around 7:50, waited till the 8 o'clock hour to get to it. Here is what OutSports.com posted yesterday afternoon. The St. Louis Cardinals given reasons for refusing OutSports press credential request to cover Christian Day at the team's game on Sunday, July 30th, continue to fall apart. Cardinals spokesperson Chris Tuno told OutSports reporter Eric Hall that he was not allowed to give Hall a credential for two main reasons. Number one, MLB forbade him from credentialing websites. And number two, the Cardinals only credentialed journalists looking to cover the team or its players. Yet for the last three seasons, Tuno has personally credentialed the website boom.lgbt to cover not the team or players, but to cover a single annual unofficial pride event and, in 2014, the performance of a gay chorus. Each credential received by the journalist Colin Murphy included his name, the name of the outlet, and the words press credential. Boom Media's only publication is its website, boom.lgbt. Quote, since 2014, Boom Media has requested credentials directly through the Cardinals Communication Office for our then LGBT Pride Night, which was actually a group night with just John and Pride St. Louis, and were approved, Murphy told OutSports. All of this flies in the face of the reasons given to OutSports by Tuno, who rejected our request by saying, quote, Major League Baseball and its member clubs do not credential web/blog sites. Major League Baseball and its member clubs credential only those media wishing to cover teams and their players, where a theme night would not fall under that category, end quote. The Cardinals credentialing site does not reflect any of this alleged policy. OutSports has also scoured MLB's credentialing site and has not seen any ban on websites or anything that prevents the credentialing of media to mainly cover an event at a baseball game. In addition to Boom LGBT being credentialed by Tuno himself for three straight seasons, OutSports has been alerted to blogs that have been credentialed by the Washington Nationals and Los Angeles Dodgers, refuting Tuno's false claim. OutSports has also been credentialed for a game in the last 18 months by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Tuno did not respond to a request for comment. No doubt the Cardinals refuse the credential requests of media outlets on a daily or weekly basis, yet it continues to become clearer to me that Tuno and the Cardinals gave reasons for the refusal that were totally false, as shown above. I hope Tuno and the Cardinals issue OutSports an apology for misleading us and Hall about the real reasons for the refusal of our credential requests. We never asked for false information about MLB policy. We just wanted the truth. As professionals in the sports media, I think we deserve the truth. That is written by Sid Ziegler.
Oh, Ziggy, yeah.
He's their editor.
He's the editor of OutSports. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
I think the Cardinals should have handled the whole thing differently. I'm not surprised they didn't. There certainly is are examples that of other SB Nation blogs being credentialed for sporting events. So the idea that in Major League Baseball would never credential an SB Nation site, that clearly doesn't hold up. I think what should have happened here is more of a discussion about, hey, you know, what's the interest? What can we do to help? Well, you know, would the players be interested in talking? And I don't think Berkman was available to comment to anyone, so I'm not sure that interview would have happened, but that's not on
the
Cardinals.
He did do an interview during the Fox Sports Midwest broadcast.
Oh, he did. Okay. So, I mean, I guess to me, there should have been more of a conversation here as
opposed
to... Did
he not? I want to make sure that I'm correct.
Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah, I was virtually certain I did, but I want to make sure that I didn't pass something off as fact that was not accurate.
I did not know that, so I apologize. it looks bad for it looks to me it looks bad on the Cardinals that they were completely shut down without a conversation. And to me, Outsports is also getting what it wanted here too, because they're able to say we got shut down and, you know, we weren't allowed in. It seems to me like the like there just could have been a better way of handling the whole situation. I know that's not the scorchingest of takes, but we also don't know.
Well, I want honesty, baby. That's
we
what
haven't
I want.
Seen the emails that. The emails between both parties either. We're getting one side of a story here. The Cardinals aren't talking about it. Maybe at some point they do, but we're only getting one side of the story here.
I'll play devil's advocate because I don't know exactly the emails, but I think it's obvious, in my opinion, that all the Cardinals are doing is protecting their players because they didn't want them being asked these questions, and I get that. So I agree with you that it could have been handled differently, but at the same time, you don't always get a credential. It's up to the Cardinals and MLB who they want to give credentials to. Now, the credentials they gave to Boom, it was for an LGBT night, and I'm sure that the people going weren't going to go up to players and say, "Do you hate gays? Do you agree with this?" It was covering the event. This guy wasn't going to do that. He wanted to find out how players felt about Berkman being there after what he said. And the Cardinals knew that. So I think it could have been handled differently, but I know why the Cardinals did it.
I mean, you're right in that it's up to the Cardinals to decide who they credential and who they don't. That's up to their, you know, what they want, who they want in the press box, all these things. It's also fair that they can be criticized when it gets out that who they don't allow. I mean, that comes with not allowing certain people. Probably needs to be said that the Cardinals get a ton of requests for the press box as well. So this isn't exactly they've always been more strict on who gets credentialed than some teams because there is more interest than some teams. And maybe the way to handle this would have been to say, hey, how can we help you get the story you're looking for? And we can talk to players to see who might be comfortable talking. If there are guys who aren't comfortable talking about this, then we would ask that you don't approach them about it. I think that would have been maybe an avenue to get a better story and a better look for both parties, but apparently that wasn't the interest. So, and again, we're only getting one side of this, and it's the Outsports side because the Cardinals haven't come out and said what would their thought process was behind it. And I don't know that they're going to either. I imagine they think that they're just going to not say anything and this will eventually blow over.
I would agree with that strategy is what's being employed here.
Yeah, I would think. I expect that they say no to a lot of people who apply
Absolutely.
For credentials, a lot of them.
Which is kind of why it kind of puts, you know, and I mean, workshop this, I guess, but it kind of puts me like as someone who writes for the paper in a little bit of a interesting spot because I don't know, honestly, if the average fan wants to read about who was and wasn't credentialed to be in the press box. I mean, this is kind of that weird area that has become more popular lately and reading about and writing about is like the media issue.
Well, I feel like it's getting coverage nationally, but not but at the same time, it's not fair for me to say that because I really don't listen to anything.
Well,
it was brought up on,
you know, I think not outside the lines, but around the horn.
Around the horn, Sarah Spain talked about it.
And she didn't have the exact details of what exactly happened either. It was like a short soundbite that, of course, took off.
She represented that she did, and she took some liberties with the, at this moment, facts, which is what happens in 2017.
And then it also got, there
was a long interview he did with the Afternoon Drive host, I believe, on The Score in Chicago, perhaps, yesterday. So now that's not to say that it is not 101 could be talking about this all day for all I know. KMOX could be talking about it. I have no idea. So it's not fair for me to say. Have you guys written about it in the Post-Dispatch?
I don't think we have covered specifically the Outsports angle. Again, part of it is because it's like, is that a sport? Is that, you know, I don't know, man. Like obviously there's an interest in it because people are talking about it, but it's also that weird, like it's not really about the team. It's not really about this things going on in the field. It is a story to some degree, but it's kind of like a media thing. Like, are we going to do stories about everybody who doesn't get credentialed and what goes into that and why? And no, it's kind of in that weird nebulous area. I'm not saying I have the right answer. I'm saying it's a bit of a unique situation. And part of it, which I think was involved is that I think Eric reached out to the Writers Association here, the local chapter, and did it in a way that the answer was not quickly responded to.
Yeah, Derek said he didn't see it and he regrets not seeing it. He was on with us and talked about that.
And maybe things would have worked out differently if that would have occurred. But, I mean, it's unfortunate I think everybody can agree on that, that it played out this way. But I don't know. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to give us their side of the story here.
I wouldn't think that they would. I'm sure they'll just hope that this just kind of goes away quietly, and it probably will. I mean, the guy still has a chance to, if he wants to try again, I suppose he could reapply for credentials and go down and ask the Cardinal players now what they think. Or he could try to find Lance Berkman somewhere else. If getting that story is really what's important, and now it looks like maybe what's important is the fact that he was denied credentials. Not the story, but just the fact that he was denied entrance into the press box.
Well, if they do that, then the Cardinals admit they were wrong by not giving him one. If they give him one now, that'll be another story. Yeah. Why did we get one now? We didn't get one before.
Well, I'm saying if, from his point of view, if the big part of the story is the Lance Berkman deal and the player's reaction, then maybe he'll get a second chance to get that.
Let's see. There's all kinds of texts that aren't necessarily for air. Does the Post-Dispatch have adult content? That's from TJ. I'm sorry.
Is it TJ Moe?
I don't know. I see that name. You know what that means, Matt? Because I see that name in the text inbox, and I don't know what it means.
But someone apologizing to him, perhaps.
No, the name is TJ, comma, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Doug, this is Dave in the 916.
Oh, hello, Dave.
Yesterday, after some texts, you guys asked me to call in, but I had to leave for work. After this discussion now, I'm not sure that there is anything more for me to add. Ben Fred just explained my thoughts perfectly. Organizations don't want difficult situations, but sometimes they just find them, and like it or not, they need to deal with it, not avoid it. Don't want to waste your time with a call repeating what is being said now. Again, not about do they have to credential, but should they? That's Dave in the 916. Sacramento?
I don't know where 916 is.
I like that part where he said, I said exactly what he was thinking. That was a good.
Well, how'd you feel about that?
That was great. Yeah, good text.
I think the Cardinals.
Text of the day material, in my humble opinion. I don't get to hand that out, but if I were, I would give it to him.
I think the Cardinals, more than anything, probably want to be in the baseball business and not in the controversial social.
Yeah, but you open yourself up
business.
To this when you host, and I'm not talking about hosting Christian Day, I'm talking about hosting all of these days. It's easy to say we want to be in the baseball business, but you open yourself up to these discussions when you host certain days at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And that's what, if you don't like the discussions that come with who you bring in and the days that you promote, the days you don't promote, the days that you didn't promote, now you do, these things happen.
Well, yeah, obviously they happen because here it is.
Right.
I mean, things at that stadium. They have weddings and they have parties. And does it open up everybody who uses that stadium to criticism from every website? I don't think that they want to open up that can of worms.
Guys, this is way more interesting than what's going on the field. It might not go away. That's from the 314. I think the only way it doesn't go away is if someone in the national media continues to discuss it, dig into it, and find out something along those lines. I don't think OutSports alone would, and I don't think a local discussion would.
I guess, what is there to... I mean, the only thing that me is missing here is, well, the Cardinals deciding, you know, the Cardinals coming out and saying, this is why we did it. Either we regret the way we did it, or we think we did the right thing, you know. But if they're not gonna be willing to do that, and my impression is that they're gonna say, hey, we've addressed this, we're moving on, then I don't know what else there is to say.
Sometimes,
I mean, I guess they can keep hammering them with columns and articles.
Sometimes these things, they have very odd time trajectories. Now, this was pre-Twitter, but I specifically remember, as an example, and now people take their sides, which isn't the intent, because personally I thought it was wrong at the time. I remember I had a long, like hour and a half long discussion with Brian Burwell about the story at Rams Park right after it happened, and we just totally disagreed. And, you know, as I say often, I'm on social issues as far to the left as I think you can get, but maybe not. But either way, certainly on the left when it comes to social issues, and Brian was as well, but on this topic we disagreed. And I'm citing Rush Limbaugh getting fired from ESPN in, I think it was 2003, when I'm paraphrasing here, he said the media was desirous of having a black quarterback succeed, and that was the Donovan McNabb thing. And at the time, when he said it, there was no reaction, none, from his peers, a few of whom were African-American, on set at ESPN. But then some outside groups with influence began pressuring ESPN, and then some of those same co-hosts then condemned Rush Limbaugh for something at the time that didn't get any reaction from them. And so my point on telling that story, which isn't apples to apples, but to give you an idea of how the timelines can be distant from the actual event itself, is if it is placed in the hands of a special interest lobby that then sees it as a cause to advance their particular beliefs or agenda, depending on what word you would want to use. I just feel like agenda is a loaded word. Then it can gain more attention after the fact. So it's only a few days old at this point. It has made it to ESPN, but in a limited capacity. It has made it outside of St. Louis on a major radio station, The Score. And if it doesn't go anywhere else, then I would agree it's just going to go away. If one of those special interests gets a hold of it, then they would, I would imagine, begin to try to hammer the Cardinals for it. That's how I believe these things play out. If no special interest was going bat crap about Rush Limbaugh 14 years ago, I don't believe he ever would have gotten fired. But then it became, quote, a thing. Again, this is pre-Twitter. Had it been in the Twitter era, I think it would have probably gotten going quicker. But either way, that's how these things can play out.
It also falls into that easy lane of there. I mean, let's be honest, there are just people out there, certain fans, certain, whether they're in a certain city or just people in general that like to rip the Cardinals. I mean, Deadspin has made, you know, how many clicks off of just trolling the Cardinals. They're a team that's easy to hate if you don't support them. So this falls right into that, you know, chamber for something easy to mock the Cardinals about, because they're known for being, you know, certainly a conservative-based organization. Look at the leaders who are in it. Look at where the money is donated. Look at, you know, again, you know, the people that are promoted to come in and speak. So when this issue comes up, then it really provides fodder for people who want to criticize the Cardinals for being too conservative or too Republican or too unaccepting. All these things that they want to say the Cardinals are, this fits that narrative. So that's another reason I think it has more legs than maybe if it would have happened somewhere else.
And do the Cardinals have any obligation to credential every website or blogger that's just going to come in and rip them and try to take their players down avenues where they don't
players? See, all right, I'll agree with you on the first part, but you don't know where the reporter was going to go. I think we get into a bad spot where we're assuming, well, this guy was going to do this, he was going to do that. Well, we don't know, you know, and I know Eric. I don't know him personally. I was at Mizzou.
Yeah, he's a Missouri journalism guy.
I mean, he wasn't going to go in there and ambush somebody. I think professional ball players are adults. I think if you walk up to Matt Carpenter in the locker room and you say, "Hey, you know, it's Christian Day at the ballpark. Lance Berkman's here. He said some things that some people in this community find offensive. What are your thoughts on having him be here? And what do you think that message sends?" That's probably not the most traditional question you're going to get in a clubhouse. But Matt Carpenter's an adult. Matt Carpenter can decide, hey, I'd rather not talk about that, or hey, this is my opinion on that, or hey, you know, or I'll tell you what I think. I mean, that to me is not something that should be treated as if it's just, oh my God, that could never happen. And I don't think Eric was going to do it in an unprofessional way, is what I'm saying. And then we get into a bad spot where we assume what people are going to do.
He is an adult, sure, but he's also a baseball player, and they're there to play baseball. I don't think any of these guys are with the Cardinals thinking, here's my chance to take on every social issue that comes down the pike, and that's what I want to talk about when games are over.
No.
I want this cause and that cause and this.
Sure.
I don't think they need to necessarily have to
deal
with that.
But they can decide that for themselves, is what I'm saying.
Maybe they've told the Cardinals,
perhaps,
listen, we don't want to deal with this
again,
every game. You want to ask me about the home run I hit or the error I made, that's fine, but don't try to get me in trouble by bringing down anybody who's got a social issue that he wants to quiz
me on.
Maybe
there was a discussion with player. We don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. But there's a lot of there's part of the story that we don't know, and it's the Cardinals' side. I don't have a problem with – I actually enjoy hearing what some athletes think about things that are going on outside of sports. And I think we owe it to them – as adults to speak on those topics if they decide to.
Didn't Eric tell us on the air, and I could be wrong, but when he first emailed Tuno, he thought he was getting the credential, but didn't he say then he told Tuno that he wanted to talk to Carpenter about the issues in Texas with the the transgendered bathrooms and all of that. And then he didn't get the credential. I thought that's what he said. I could be wrong, but I thought he told Tuno what he wanted to talk to the players about, and then he found out he wasn't getting the credential.
I know that I asked him specifically if he said in his credential request what he was planning on covering, and he said, I've never stated what I plan on covering when requesting a credential, which is, for all of us who have had credentials and who have credentials, that is accurate. Now, I don't know if then when he was denied, if that led to a conversation.
Okay, it could have been after.
Right.
Okay.
Let's see. When the manager makes statements regarding the persecution of Christians at Busch Stadium, and by that he means at the event at Busch Stadium, not persecution of Christians, actually at Busch Stadium, they cannot then turn around and say they want to avoid controversy. That's from the 916. I wonder if it's the same gentleman, unless we're just big in Sacramento this morning, and it's possible. I mean, the show is really...
I think
really,
they can try really hard to avoid controversy. I don't think they want to sit there and talk about every issue that comes up. They don't want to deal with reporters saying, what do you think about Donald Trump? Well, what do you think about Hillary Clinton? Well, what do you think about this issue? And that's not what they want to do. That's not who they are. It's not what they want to tackle.
Don't you think that some of them might want to stay away from that and some of them might be interested in addressing it? I mean, Dexter Fowler had opinions on the travel ban because it affected his family. And he had some really eloquent things to say. And yeah. I don't think he was going, oh, my God, why are they asking about this? It seemed to me like he was, you know, interested in discussing
it. Yeah, and that,
I mean, we can't,
in that situation, it made sense. But I don't think the team wants all of their players individually to have to answer questions like that. And then
well, the team very much does not want the players to talk about things that could upset the fan base.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's interesting, when you bring up the Fowler thing, Doug, do you remember, and we could probably pull it up, actually, Buck Swope might already have it before I even ask for it, when we had John Mozeliak sit down with us at the picnic table at spring training, and we asked him about the Fowler thing, he said not only was he supportive of Dexter Fowler, but that it was good to have somebody who is socially conscious and mentioned, you know, how intelligent Dexter Fowler is. And so... Mozeliak was pro having him speak.
The other thing, too, about the Matheny quote that people are getting fired up about, if you don't agree with what he said, okay, that's fine, but you gotta realize where he was speaking. He was speaking to Christian Day at the ballpark, people who stayed after the game to participate. What he said is no different than what you hear if you walk into many churches on a Sunday afternoon. You know, this is not like it's groundbreaking opinion from someone who is very religious. So the fact that he said that to people who are attending Christian Day at the ballpark by their own will, they didn't lock the gates and make everybody stay. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem to me like something to get that fired up about. If you don't agree with him, okay. But it's not like he was coming to some great revelation there. That's been talked about by Christians for a very long time.
What's been talked about by Christians for a very long time?
That Christians are persecuted. I mean, that is something that is not like it's Matheny's opinion that no one else shares. I mean, he's a Christian, so why would you be surprised that he has that opinion, I guess is what I'm saying.
Derek Gould joins us now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. He is in Milwaukee. Cardinals have a day game today. Derek, I don't know if you could hear our discussion that we were having. We were, at the beginning of the segment, read the OutSports, contrary to their claim, St. Louis Cardinals have credentialed the website multiple times. Story. We discussed it at length on Tuesday in your appearance. Did you get a chance to read OutSports' piece yesterday afternoon?
The follow-up? I did not.
Okay.
No, I've heard about it.
Do you think this story is going to go anywhere, or do you think that this will be the end of it?
Oh, I doubt it'll be the end of it. I mean, does anything ever end anymore? I mean, I'm not sure it should be the end of it. It should be an ongoing conversation, right? I mean, you know, what policy are they going to have? What policy are they going to stick with? What are they going to have for Pride Night? Will they have people who want to come and just cover that event? And will that be allowed? I mean, this isn't going to end. They're going to continue to have Christian Family Day every year, so we're going to continue to have this every year. We'll continue to have questions as to why they have one of those days and not a litany of other days.
How many organizations, how many websites, bloggers, media outlets you think are turned down for credentials by the Cardinals? Is it a big number?
I have no clue. I don't know how many even try, Doug, to be honest, because most don't. You know, I think we talked about this on Tuesday that, you know, one of the things that we did with the BBWA was sort of codify our membership policy and turn them inward, turn them to the local chapters to see if, you know, see if there was more applications, see if some of the folks who are doing really good baseball writing, but maybe not for a traditional outlet, wanted to be members. And, you know, there wasn't the onrush of interest. There wasn't a lot of applications. I mean, I guess in St. Louis, there wasn't. There was elsewhere. There were some places that did have a gush of applications, but we didn't see that in St. Louis. So I don't know. I don't think there's a lot. I mean, you know, the Cardinals hold a blogger night, you know, every year, and they bring in their fans and they get a Q&A. They used to invite us riders to it. They no longer do, but they get a Q&A with Mo, and he's pretty candid with them, and it's on the record for them, and then they write it up. So I think you know, there's not the I just don't know, but they do things to at least address the blogger's interest if it's there.
What do you think if you take the whole thing? Because some people say, well, they shouldn't. They're just there to stir the pot. Outsports was just there to stir the pot. And then the counter to that is, well, when the Cardinals invited Lance Berkman, a controversial figure because of the political ad in 2015, they opened themselves up to it. Now, my opinion is the Cardinals should have every right as a private business to do what they want to do as far as inviting somebody and then in turn credential and recognize that there could be ramifications from their action by inviting whomever to speak. That's where I am on it. Where are you on it, Derek?
Yeah, I think that's fair. The Cardinals are a private business. They can do whatever they want to sell tickets. They can take whatever stances they want, but they have to understand that they are exactly as you said. They can that they have to then take whatever follows. It's the same stance that I have with when I get a no comment or when I get a dodge or when I get a player who does not talk to me or an executive who does not talk to me. If I go to every length to reach out and say, this is what I'm writing or this is the question I have, and I get no response, then that is their right. That is the freedom of speech is also the freedom not to speak. But there is a ramification for that, because you choose not to speak does not mean I don't still have to explain. And if you choose not to speak, then that opens up the door for me to speculate what the possible answers are, as opposed to actually having your answer. So I think that, you know, that's how it works. I mean, I think the other way is works too, right? The freedom to speak is also not, you are not protected from a response, right? Like, you know, the freedom to speak and to say something out loud does not then also shield you from any response that you might get. So bring in Lance Berkman. If he says something controversial on your field and the whole world turns to you and says, how could you let that happen? You invited him to the ballpark. So you are the stage by which he shouted whatever they have an issue with, and therefore you are part of it. If you give somebody a stage for that, for a remark that is controversial or discriminatory, or you know, we've seen not examples at the ballpark, but you see, you know, if it's hate speech, then the people who offered the stage are also liable. We see that all the time, and I think that's fair.
I want to ask you about Yadier Molina.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
Doug, I thought you were about to ask a follow-up question.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. No.
Go ahead, Ben.
No, go.
I didn't have a follow-up question. I didn't.
Well, now I feel like I've derailed everything here. I apologize.
No, you're right.
It seems to me like Yadi, last night being another example, when the spotlight is on him, whether it's World Baseball Classic, whether it's whether it's a postseason game, it seems like he knows it and performs up to it. Is mm-hmm. last night another example of that after all of the Instagram kerfuffle and knowing that a lot of people are talking about him, like he's become the supposed beef with him and Mike has become a real thing here, and he goes out and plays an incredible game, not only offensively but catching for Luke and also throwing a guy out.
Yes. Wait, do you want me to?
No, that's exactly what I was thinking you'd say. Yeah.
No, I agree with you, and it's actually the question I asked Mike last night. I said, this is a guy who, when he plays mad, he plays well. He's one of those guys where you can definitely, I think you and I have talked about it, and I certainly sense feel it, that you can tell when he's about to take over a game. There's a bounce in life to him. There's an exuberance that kind of, like permeates and then can actually fill the dugout or fill the clubhouse. And that was the question that I asked Paul Wong. And he saw the quote that he said, that he goes, we go. The St. Louis Cardinals is Yadier Molina, is how Paul Wong put it. I asked Mike that same question. And he told me that Yadier Molina always has that look. Always looks like he's about to do something great. So, he's when Yadier. I mean, he was so furious the other day in Arizona when he had a chance to, or against Arizona, excuse me, at Bush, when he had a chance to change that game and did not. He was livid. You could tell that. He knew, obviously, there was a lot of stuff on the peripheral. Obviously, there was a trade deadline coming up. All this stuff was going on. And you could tell that he wanted to do something to either change the fortune of the team or send a message. And it just came a few days late, but he eventually did it.
Do you think this is the end of the Matheny-Molina drama, or do you think this is just the newest chapter?
Yeah, you guys are into the end of things, the end of the out sports conversation, the end of the out here. I don't think any of this stuff ends until the season ends. I mean, I think the Christian Family Day thing will be a recurring conversation for us. But the out here and Molina conversation, I don't think ends until the season does.
Luke Weaver pitched well. You think Luke Weaver pitching that well is the end of people questioning whether he deserves a starting spot?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, evidently not, because you just did. Well done, Doug.
Yeah, thank you.
That was like a nuanced. There were levels to that.
And we should stop worrying about Rosenthal, too, who's suddenly one of the most dominant closers in baseball.
Should probably not have worried about Rosenthal all that much to begin with, but should definitely not now. Yes, he is. He's pitching very well. He's the closer that the Cardinals have always wanted him to be this season. They wanted to find a reason to turn to him. They've been looking for him to take over the ninth, and he has by finding more confidence and usage of his off-speed stuff. It's been interesting to kind of watch that evolution, but what you have at the end of it is certainly a dominant closer.
There was some concerns earlier this season about using him. They'd rather use him every day than use him, multiple innings. Is that now gone out the window, that he's shown he can go out there and get four outs?
Is it the end of him as the Andrew Miller?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
I guess I'm asking if it's the beginning, because originally they were saying that he couldn't be a guy who got you multiple innings because they're worried about his arm.
Yeah, yeah. No, yesterday was not ideal. That was not their plan, and they wanted to stay away from it. But they had a couple guys that they couldn't go to. Wasn't even at the ballpark. They sent him back to the hotel. So when there was an issue in the eight, they had to do something that they didn't want to. They would like to pick and choose and be a little bit more judicious with the use of Trevor in multi-inning spots.
All right, so we've seen the end of that too. Something else that came to an end.
Totally, right. The end.
And every night they win one, we think, boy, this club's right back in it. And then every night they lose one, we think, ah, they're done now. It's just a yo-yo that's going to go on the whole season, maybe.
It's just the team they are. You know, they got another chance to get back to 500. Very exciting times today. They are 0 for their last five at the beginning of June. So if they can take that step back to 500, then maybe anything is possible.
They're due.
But they haven't.
All right. Well, I guess that's the end of that discussion.
Nice. Derek Gould with us. He's got to go anyway. He's got a day game to cover in Milwaukee. Cardinals then head to Cincinnati. Derek, appreciate the time as always, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Derek Gould with us here, brought to you by GFI Digital. GFI provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI Digital make technology simple for your business. Start by visiting online at gfidigital.com. That's GFI Digital. It's the 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020 or go online at goldsmithmcp.com. It's Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. Your thoughts on what Derek had to say?
You're asking us our thoughts?
I was asking...
Just anyone in general? About Molina?
Anything.
Yeah, I agree that Molina seems to be better when he's a little bit angry. I mean, that might have been the best offensive night that he's had of his career.
I think what happened was he saw Matheny posted a Ted Simmons picture on Instagram. Old school catcher.
Yeah.
Had the offense, and he said, oh, I'll show him. But we don't know what Matheny's Instagram account is, so we didn't see it. That's probably there's probably another thing going on here. No, he was outstanding, and it wasn't just the bat. It was the game that he caught. It was how he handled Luke, and then the throwing the guy out. He was in his in the zone. But you're right. He rises to the occasion in certain moments.
Yeah,
that are
really seems to.
I mean, that's what though he was the talk of spring training when he was at the World Baseball Classic, and I got to believe that factored in some way into the contract that he got. Now, it wasn't the only reason, but how could you not watch him play every night during that thing and go, man, this guy's still got a lot left in his tank?
Yeah, there's no doubt he's still one of the premier catchers in the game. I don't know that he's the best if you put a number one right now, but he's in the conversation anyway. Who would you rather have? Posey or Perez?
Perez,
Contreras?
Maybe. Posey, yeah. I mean, those are the names. They're all right there.
Yeah.
The outsports stuff, I think Derek hit it is like, you know, the Cardinals, as you said, Tim, they're a private organization and they can make decisions based on what a private organization wants to make decisions based on. Now, they're going to deal with some backlash for some of those decisions they make. And this is an example of what we're seeing. I think there's a school of thought that says, look, the Cardinals are, you know, this idea of they're a public trust and they should be more accepting and be different in their political beliefs or other beliefs. And I think that's what we're seeing here clashing. We're seeing the Cardinals wanting to be everybody. Obviously, the Cardinals want to have as many fans as they can. They want to make as much money as they can. But the people who are in position to make decisions, like who comes, like having a Christian Day at the ballpark, and then who comes and speaks, they have certain viewpoints that those speakers and those days align with. We're seeing that being challenged here a little bit with the introduction of the Pride Night. And then the outsports thing has kind of came up in the middle as showing there's still some friction between the two. So we're watching this play out. That's to me, the long view of this thing. And I don't think it'll be the end of it. I think there'll be more examples like it. And it's the Cardinals got to decide, are we going to address these things? Are we going to hope they go away? Are we going to just say, hey, look, this is who we are, and if you don't like it, deal with it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say that too.
I wonder what will happen on the 25th as far as Pride Night goes, if it just comes and goes and everything's cool.
Or I expect it will.
I would hope so.
I expect it will. I think the Cardinals would probably rather face some criticism because they didn't allow some people press credentials than to have their players, managers, front office people constantly come under fire because of some comment they made about a social issue, a political issue, I think they just assume stay as far away from that as they possibly can. And if somebody from a website or a blogger is going to complain that he didn't have access, they'll deal with that. I think that's how I would handle it. Say, criticize me for not letting somebody in, okay. But I don't want the players, the manager, constantly distracted because they're getting asked questions that they might be uncomfortable answering. I don't know that you need to... If I was running the club, I would not necessarily want my players to be constantly subjected to questions that they're not uncomfortable with, are not skilled in answering, or have their personal opinions out there on every single social issue that comes up. I don't think I'd want that.
If you're running the club, you absolutely don't want your players talking about anything other than X's and O's on the field.
Mm.
What I'm saying is you got to be careful about lumping that in with what the players want, because there are players are different. They're all across the board. They're just like the guys sitting in this room. We all have different opinions. We're all more willing to talk about certain things than others. So what I push back against is saying, look, the players don't want to talk about this. We don't know oftentimes what they want to talk about until they're asked. I wouldn't have expected that Dexter Fowler wanted to voice his opinion on the travel ban until Mark Saxon of ESPN asked him about it, and he gave a very thoughtful response that I think was really, you know, constructive to the discussion, whether you agreed with him or not. I was interested in hearing what he had to say. So I push back against saying, well, the players don't want to talk about this, so they shouldn't. No one should be in there asking them these questions. They can decide. They're all adults. They can decide what they want to talk about and what they don't. Some don't want to. Some might. So that's, but from the team perspective, absolutely. If I'm the team and I'm handling out the credentials, I'm not going to put someone in there that maybe causes a headline that causes blowback in one way or the other. But you also have to realize that when you limit who can come and when you don't give someone that credential and they have a platform to talk about not getting one and publicly wondering why they didn't get one, then you're opening yourself up for criticism in that way as well.
Almost every group interview I was ever a part of with the Rams, there was always a PR person lingering right there with you. And if the conversation went off football at all, they would step in some way. I mean, that was pretty much the policy. I didn't do a whole lot of one-on-one interviews with the Rams player where there wasn't a PR guy somewhat close. That's occasionally. But if it was a group thing on their Wednesday media day that they always had, and, you know, the little scrum would go from player to player, there was always somebody right there to make sure that the conversation didn't go off the rails.
Well, they were much more hands-on than the Cardinals are. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you walk up to a Cardinals player in the clubhouse and say, hey, you got a minute, and they say, yeah, come back in 30, we can sit down or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then there's not someone hovering around to see what you're going to ask them about.
I wonder if that's an NFL thing or if it was a Rams thing.
I think it's probably an NFL thing.
Yeah.
That's just my guess. I haven't covered any other NFL teams.
And the players appreciate that too. I'm sure that if Chris Tuna would have given them the credential and the questions were asked of Matt Carpenter before a game that he's getting ready for about laws in Texas, he probably would have went to Tuna and said, what the hell is this? I'm getting ready for a game, and this guy's asking me questions about, you know, transgendered bathrooms, and what do I think about the laws in Texas? You know, so they got to worry about that, too, that they don't want their players upset.
I mean,
I don't know when he was going to ask these questions. I mean, it's not something you bring up before a game, and then just, after the game, I'm not even sure they were available.
We're just assuming what he was going to... I think we don't know what he was going to ask. You know, we don't know how he was going to approach it. And also, I just push back. The idea of... I know all players don't want to talk about X, Y, and Z. I think that's... I don't like that way of thinking because we don't know. We shouldn't assume what people want to talk about and what they don't. Against anyone, player, politician, normal person on the street, like, let that person decide what they are comfortable addressing, what they want to have an opinion on.
I don't know what this text means. Ben Fred straight out of Sedalia riding his high horse, blah, blah, blah. What does straight out of Sedalia riding a high horse
mean? Tim, people from Sedalia tend to think a lot of themselves. You know, we
is
have
that right?
a lot of
right.
famous people. So naturally, when you make it out of Sedalia, you just come with a little bit of swagger that you might not find
in other
places.
It was once known as the Sodom and Gomorrah of the Midwest.
Scott Joplin.
It was.
Scott Joplin made it big there. I know St. Louis likes to claim them. They have the little motel. He's got a little, or have a little Hall of Fame, whatever. It has a star down on the, he made his hay in Sedalia, okay? And we carry that with us. We carry a little bit of that with us. I'm not going to apologize. Actually, I'm not going to apologize for it, Tim. I'm proud of it.
Wasn't there a train stop there or something?
Home of the state fair, okay?
Yeah.
It is, Doug.
This state that you're
going
in?
Going back 100 years.
We're the home of the state fair, all right?
Going back 100 years, it was known as
it was a wild place.
Wild and crazy place.
You had to have a little pep in your step to even get by there.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
There's still a little of that ornery sure. in you.
Guys, Doug talks anal bleaching and Ben Fred doesn't. America, home of the brave. Thanks. That's TJ. I'm sorry. I don't know what that one meant either. These things are just, they're like there. Words being sent
gibberish
in.
There.
It's like autocorrect is taking over the text inbox.
I know that you can say, let the players talk about what they want to talk about, but if you're interviewing the mayor of St. Louis, you don't ask about the Cardinals' double play combination. If you're doing another story, you don't tend to talk baseball questions. So I think it's probably reasonable to think that the baseball players can talk about baseball, and that those would be appropriate questions, and that's maybe not where you should go with all the social issues of the day. If somebody wants to come out and just start saying, fine, power to you. But I don't know that's necessarily in the spirit of being a credentialed member to cover the team, is that you're looking for everybody's opinion on social issues. I mean, you can do it, but I don't know that that's really in the spirit of why you're there.
No, I don't think you run around going, hey, did you read the headline today? What's your take on what Trump said? No. I think there are times when, if the player wants to address it, that we should be willing to ask if you think it might fit. Like Dexter, I thought Dexter is a good example. Mm-hmm. His wife is of the Muslim faith, and he was asked, how does this affect your family? And he gave a really thoughtful response. Now, I'm sure some people read that and go, why are these ball players talking about these things? And that's going to be a response that happens anytime a ball player says something that's not stick to sports. I mean, anytime any of us say something that's not stick to sports, there are people who get upset. I guess what I was trying to say,
I think
was
our
that
ship sailed in here a long time ago.
We shouldn't pigeonhole these athletes as sports are the only thing they want to talk about. That's what I was trying to say.
Boy, you are from Sedalia.
Guys, Ben Fred sounds crazy to some because he's taking a reasoned, well-thought-out, flexible stance. People struggle these days with critical thought. Thanks. That's from Tom Selke.
How about that?
I'm not very flexible.
Doug Tommy Selke.
Selke. That's who they named the Selke Award after.
Is that right?
Yeah.
This guy texted into our show?
I think so. Yeah, that's why he texted in. It was kind of a humble brag. Yeah, that's right. I got a trophy named after me. How about you? And he used the excuse of Ben Fred being flexible. I can see right through some of these.
You have a text of the day to give out, Tim. There have been a few that have been very complimentary of me. I'm just saying.
I just read one, baby. And you would like to win the...
I'm just saying.
I think
you got to give
begging.
It out at some point.
You're begging for a complimentary texter to win a sandwich.
Cheesesteak at Post Sports Bar and Grill is the prize.
See there.
It's the official cheesesteak of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Tastes pretty good right about now.
Of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. The official scotch of the Morning After is Monkey Shoulder. With a cheeky disregard for tradition and a commitment to unconventional serves, Monkey Shoulder looks to bring great scotch whiskey to a new generation of whiskey drinkers. Monkey Shoulder Whiskey, not the original whiskey like Doug, more original than that, like Tim. I just read the copy.
It's a lemon copy. That's what it is.
Just read the copy. Hey, Doug, did John talk to you about the new softball team? I'm hoping you will be our number one cheerleader rooting your son on. That's from the 830 Recreator.
I got a call last night from John Vaughn saying, do they have lights at Kirkwood Park softball field? And I said, of course they do. They've had them there forever. He goes, oh, because we're thinking about going up and playing softball. I thought he had a game or something. Said, no, we're just going to go up. Some members of the fan page are going to go up and play softball.
Oh, that's awesome that the fan page got together and went and played softball?
Well, I said, there's probably games going on those fields now. Where are you going to play? He says, I don't know. We're just going to go up and play softball. I never heard if they did or how it worked out.
When you said you got a call, was that him yelling up from the basement?
No, he was out and about with the fan page members.
I think
why don't you go up there and hang out with them?
I was doing anything else I could think of is what I would have been doing instead.
Pretty sure you got to rent those fields. You can't just show up and play, can you?
Well, if you're a member of the fan page, I think you can.
Oh, that's true, too. Just yeah.
No, you could just play if there wasn't a game there. It's a public park.
You just say, I know Tim. It's okay.
Yep, right. They let you in. Timmy, are we betting any unders today on getaway day? Let's make paper. Doug, do you like that? Let's make paper?
I don't like that. No. How did he spell it?
Hold on. P-A-A-A-A-A-A-P-E-R.
Paper. Right, let's make paper.
I got to check these numbers. Who's starting for the Brewers today? Anybody? Nurse? Nancy? Chasey? Lane?
Hell, I don't know. Let me check it out.
Thanks.
That's going to take a while.
That's fine. Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Send your emails in. Hot Shots, where we'll be doing our TMA Live. Hot Shots Fenton, 2 weeks from tonight, brother. Hot Shots.
Okay.
Matt Garza. Yeah, I don't know if I want to touch the under on this. And who's throwing for the Cardinals? The downward plane? Is he downward planing?
He is.
Give me just,
yes.
He's been good lately, Tim.
Yeah, Garza's got a 3.83 ERA. He's been pretty good himself.
Let me see, Doc. All right, I got the number finally. 9 over-under. Wow, that'll be tempting, Jack. That'll be tempting, Jack.
Every game is 9 almost. It's like soccer. Every game is 2.5.
Cubs and Diamondbacks have a day game today. Quintana versus Greinke. No over-under on that one listed. They're out in Colorado. Rafael Montero. Herman Marquez. That's 11.5, Doug. I don't know if you like that.
I don't care for it.
Okay. Those are your day games. Getaway day Thursday. Let's get out of here in 2 hours and 15 minutes. I don't know. If the Cardinals and Brewers are playing for something, I don't know if the Cardinals deep down really feel like they are, but if you got downward plane throwing, and as Ben said, he's been throwing well. Garza, this is his first start off the DL, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what he's got going on.
And the Cardinals scored 5 last night, so they're due for 1 or 2.
These Brewer hitters feel like they're hitting out of a hole.
Yachty's Yachty, though. Yachty could turn this all around, Tim.
The Brewers hitters feel like they're hitting out of a hole?
Because of the downward plane that Walker's got. He's so tall, and the ball comes from so high up that you feel like you're standing like a 2-foot-deep hole at the batter's box.
If Walker gets the dub tonight on sports, you should say, Walker had the downward plane, so there was a good feeling when the Cardinals' plane touched down.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. Doug, that's another Emmy waiting for you if you can execute that.
You got to polish it up a little bit, but okay. You could definitely make that work.
Yeah, I know the gist of it.
I'm going to text it to Cusimano after the show to see if I can get them both on.
See if Martin will do it over there at the Two Fox.
I think he's traveling, isn't he? Because we saw a picture.
Where is he in the Hamptons? Is he going to the Hamptons with the Plowhawk?
Maybe. I think that, yeah, probably.
Is he?
They're all in
the
Hamptons.
They always take vacation together, right?
Yeah, in the Sea Monster.
There was a photo of Martin at the airport circulating Twitter this morning from Randy Carricker. He looked like he may or may not have been sky-picking.
More radio wars.
Sky-picking, Tim.
These guys got together and rented a house in the Hamptons. Have you ever done that instead of a hotel, rented somebody's house? I hear more and more people
doing that. Is that like an Airbnb situation?
Why don't we do that, Doug? Why don't we rent a house together?
I've done it.
Supposedly, it's a really great deal.
I've done it. There's one problem with the Airbnb, though.
What?
It's not like a hotel where you show up, you get your keys, you go to your room, they leave you alone. You have to, like, engage in conversation with these people.
For how long?
And I don't mean just,
I think the minimum is 10 minutes.
I don't mean, like...
It's in the fine print.
Like, some of them, you're actually sharing their home. Like, you have a room in their home, so, like, you have to see them. But then some... Like, I'm not going to play that game. Like, but if you have, like, a garage, I've done it in Nashville, got, like, a little apartment above it, a garage, and the house is in the yard. You
Doug, Matt Damon had one of those in Tennessee in The Rainmaker. Did you see that film? Was that 1996? I think it was After School Ties.
Right.
Didn't really watch it, no.
No, it was a great film.
But these people stay
even
there?
Then, even
leave?
Then, you have to talk to the people because you have to arrange when you're going to show up.
Well, you talk to the guy at the hotel.
Like, they got to find out you're not a serial killer. At a hotel, you can be a serial killer. It's fine. You just go in and get your
but
you
there's
pay
still
your
a
money
guy to
get the room.
To and a key to pick up.
Yeah, but this is there's different than that. You have to email. You have to, like, exchange texts. It's a little too personal for my liking.
Is it? Because I was thinking that was a pretty good deal.
Well... Try it and see if you like the amount of communication that you have.
Jeez, I didn't think you'd get so bossy. You really are happy to be out of Sedalia, aren't you? Spread your wings and just kind of tell people what to do everywhere else. It's the Sedalia way or the highway, apparently.
Sedalia streak is what they call it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I've rented a house like that, and after the orgy, I never got the cleaning feedback. Thanks. That's Stumpy from Sappington?
Oh, that'd be close to me there in Sappington.
Were you at the orgy, bro?
I wasn't. No, never been to one.
Well, keep your fingers crossed this weekend with the weather.
You know, I have a feeling it's never going to happen for me. Just kind of a feeling.
Never say never, buddy.
Yeah, that next TMA Live is supposed to be off the chain. Somebody was talking about bringing in a bunch of women. Oh, you were.
Bringing them in.
Shocker, it was Iggy.
It's from a women's prison? Some chain gang is coming in?
No, I was doing some networking at the... what's the name of that place? That strip joint I was at Friday.
Oh.
Yeah, it's where a lot of the heavy hitters network. It's either Cardwell's or Scarlett's.
Scarlett's, that's it. But Selena Ford, who was holding the camera sideways, which I found out later, which upset some people on the fan page. But trying to get her and some of her Selena Sinners, she calls her gang.
Oh, she has a gang?
Yeah, Selena Sinners.
Wow.
But she is out of town on August 17th. So that fell through.
Well, the Sinners could still stop.
Yeah, what about the Sinners?
Or they not go anywhere without Selena?
Good question, Benfred.
Could be going with Selena for a photo shoot, perhaps. But I'll check with Selena and see if any of the Sinners can come. Because I haven't really put together a good foot fetish Friday in a while. Ever since the old studio when I would just go over to Stratton's and find straggling women.
That was 2008.
Yeah, that's about the last time I put together a good foot fetish Friday.
And you would walk into people purchasing a bagel. And
Webster Groves housewives looking for a bagel and a cup of coffee. Next thing they know, they've got their feet in Jay Randolph Jr.'s
Stratton's,
face.
Einstein's, I was all over the place in Webster.
Yeah, we're big with the bagel community.
Yeah,
we're coming up on a decade since Iggy's been proud of a foot fetish.
What about the Seca with Kit and Navidad one? That was super.
Well,
hot.
That just happened to be a foot fetish. They were just coming into, I don't even know what the hell they were there for, to be honest with you.
Like a cartoon convention.
Oh, yeah. It was
out at the airport.
Contamination is the name of it. Yeah. You have all of these stars from Halloween 2 and 3 and all of the horror movies. And then all of a sudden, Seca.
Yeah.
Special guest Seca. How does she fit in besides the horror part? And Kit and Navidad needed
Guys,
money.
Guys, everything Iggy does falls through. Porn stars, Sinners, it doesn't matter. That's from the 314. Hey, Doug, you can Airbnb at my house tonight, and I'll nair your B&D for you. Nothing too personal about that. Doug, that's from Sonnenberg Asphalt. They have on my way to Embraer, I see them all the time, and they just won the text of the day, too. It's a whole thing.
You know what, Sonnenberg? I prefer cement. How about that? Sonnenberg Asphalt just got himself suspended.
Got a cheesesteak, though, too.
Suspended a period of 2 days' time. You'll be ineligible to pick up the cheesesteak for 2 days' time.
He will just sit here on the council. All right, we got a break. Send your emails in. Hot Shots. Email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.